Right now, Lake Superior has a 48-degree average surface temperature compared to 44.5 degrees this date last year. All of the water in the lake is 1/2 degree warmer than last year, and while that may not sound like a lot, you have to understand Lake Superior holds a lot of water, so it is a major change. Catherine O'Reilly says the lakes of the world are warming, and they're doing it at a more rapid rate than the atmosphere.
On average, lakes are warming. People have known this about air temperatures for a long time. People have known this about ocean temperatures. But this is really the first study that has looked at lakes and how much they're warming. And so what we found out of the lakes that we had measurements for was that lakes are warming about 0.6 degrees Fahrenheit per decade.
Now that sounds minimal to me.
It does.
Is that an alarming rate?
Well, it is on average higher than air temperature warming rates. So the average air temperature warming rate over the same time period was 0.4 degrees Fahrenheit. So there are quite a large number of lakes that are actually warming faster than the air temperatures are warming. There are other lakes that are also warming at slower rates that compared to air temperatures. But we have a lot of lakes that are warming faster than air.
When a lake like Lake Erie warms up and you have lake effect snow created by cold air that moves across the Great Lakes and nails buffalo like we saw last winter, is that one of the ways that warmer lakes impact us? Is that an effect?
Well, it can be an effect. The warmer the water is, the more water is going to evaporate, and that puts a lot more moisture up into the air. So when the air is cold, like in the case of Lake Erie, that could lead to increased snowfall. In other lakes, when the water is warmer and more evaporation occurs, if those lakes are in the tropics or other places that the air is already dry, mostly what just happens is your lake starts to evaporate away. Lake levels go down and down and down. You're left with less and less water available, less and less fresh water available to you from that lake.
Why are the waters in lakes heating up faster than the ambient atmospheric temperature?
There's a lot of different reasons for this. One contributing factor is that some places of the world, there's less clouds. And when there's less clouds, there's a little bit more sunshine. And that sunshine is rapidly converted into warm, hot water when it hits a lake. So some lakes are warming up because they are getting more sunlight on them. Some lakes are warming up because lake size really matters. Shallow lakes warm up much faster than deep lakes. So, for example, you know if you try to swim in a lake around here, in June you can probably go swimming. It's not quite so cold yet. But you might not want to go swimming in Lake Michigan or Lake Superior in June.
So. I've done that. And My goodness, is that invigorating.
Yes, it is. It is very stimulating to swim in those great lakes. But they're warming up, too. Some of the fastest warming rates in the world are coming from Lake Superior.
Well, that is troubling. What does this mean for the creatures that live in or near these waters?
There's a lot of consequences of this kind of warming. In some cases, your lake might experience more algal blooms. And some of those algal blooms might be more likely to have toxins in them, like we have been seeing increases of over the past decade. Some fish will be stressed out. So if you're interested and if you're a deep water fisherman, you want to catch big fish that like to hang out in the cool, deeper waters, there's going to be a lot less habitat for those fish, and it's going to be a lot harder for you to be finding them and catching them.
So I won't be able to enjoy my pike as readily as I had been.
Oh, it's fishing might come a little more challenging, yep.
What does today's report recommend the next step be when dealing with this?
I think one of the important things that we recommend from our study is that lake managers now really start to think about the effect of climate change on their lake. So you might have a management strategy right now. You have a plan for how you're going to manage your watershed and improve your water quality. But given that your lake is changing and your lake is warming up and it's at some rate, you also need to think about how these changes in temperature might influence your lake in the future and start incorporating some of that into your management plans.
So we're talking plan ahead down the road in order to minimize the consequences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you optimistic about the human response to the situation?
Well, it's been an interesting evolution, right? Our climate change conversation. In the beginning, a lot of the conversation just focused on, is climate changing or not? And then, you know, a while ago, the conversation shifted to, are humans causing climate change or not? And so I think regardless of what you want to think is behind these changes in climate, it's pretty clear that climate is changing. And so if climate is changing, we need to be thinking about how do we adapt to this, because it's not going to affect just us in our lifetimes, but obviously our children, our grandchildren, and things like that. So I think adaptation should become a really large priority for us in thinking about our future.
Like municipal adaptation, the way we plan cities?
If your city is on the coastline, yeah, you might want to be thinking about some of that. I think how we plan our cities in the context of things like flooding, for example, from rainfall events or from ocean sea level rise. For some of the lakes that are a part of our study, we know that the decrease in fish catches could have really negative consequences for the populations that surround that lake. These are lakes in Africa where the population size is large, there's not good access to food, and so a decrease in fish catch could lead to decreases in food security. It could impact sort of political security in those regions as well. So those countries have much bigger challenges on their hands in some ways than we might here in the United States.
What makes this study so different than other studies that have been conducted about the warming of lakes?
You know, I mean, one of the things that's really unique about this study is that we combine measurements made by scientists on the ground in their little boats on their lakes with measurements made by satellites. And that's important because if you want to look at warming rates, you need lots of data collected over many years. And most lakes of the world, scientists have only been to periodically, maybe once or twice over the last 100 years. However, satellites, they're flying over the Earth multiple times a day. And when they take a picture of these lakes, we can convert that picture into temperature information. And so by combining the satellite data, which allows us to understand temperatures at lakes we can't go visit easily, with our hand-collected measurements by scientists that visit lakes that are easily accessible, that's really what allowed us to put together this global picture of how lakes are warming.
You mentioned that the Great Lakes are heating up fairly rapidly compared to the other lakes you have data for. What lakes are heating up the slowest?
Well, actually, we have some lakes that are cooling, which might seem very surprising to you. But even those lakes that are cooling, that cooling is still consistent with a warming world. So let me explain what that might mean. We have a lake that is cooling up in the backside of the Himalayan mountains, up in the Tibetan Plateau area. And that lake is cooling because it's so warm up there that ice caps are melting faster. And as those ice caps melt, they put more and more cold, ice cool water into these lakes. And so over time, it looks like the lakes are cooling. And the reason for that is really just that the glaciers are melting much more quickly.
Catherine O'Reilly, Assistant Professor of Geology at Illinois State University. She says right now we are witnessing a feedback loop when it comes to global warming. She says as the Earth warms, the higher temperatures begin to release previously isolated greenhouse gases, thus accelerating the process further. I'm Jim Brown.